enjoyed all that singing, but that last song, whoa, what depth. Amen. And I hope you could hear and understand those words. That's the good stuff right there. If you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is where I feel like the Lord's leading me tonight. And I just want to say again to your pastor and his good wife and this church, thank you for this invitation, this privilege to be back with you. And appreciate the accommodations, appreciate the good meal after church and the fellowship. We enjoyed that immensely. And again, I appreciate Brother Mark and Brother Ray coming down with me. Glad Brother Ray come over from Rock Hill tonight to be with us. Good to see him. And I know Brother Mark and I have enjoyed ourselves today and just been good. And thank you for being here. And I trust the rest of this week we'll have some visitors from some other places. But I hope you'll be here and I hope you'll come praying. Amen. Aren't you glad he is who he is and that he does what he does? Amen. And I'll say this, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of how we feel, he is always worthy to be praised. Our praise is not conducive, should not be conducive to our mindset or attitude or where we're at in life. He's always worthy, isn't he, preacher? And I'll say this, not one angel, not one star, not one beast of the field, not one creeping thing was the blood shed for, amen? But the blood was shed for us. And I say if anybody ought to give him praise, it ought to be you and I, amen, praise God. Well, are you saved tonight? Say amen. Amen. Are you glad about it? Say glory. Amen. If you can and will, stand with us as we read fast and you pray hard as we look at the first 14 verses of John chapter 6, and I'll give you what God gave me, and you'll go home and say, that preacher wasn't long-winded at all. Let's go back tomorrow. Amen. Praise God. Look at your neighbor on the left and say, let's have church tonight. Amen. Praise God. You didn't say that very enthusiastically. John chapter 6, verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, there's a lot of times we worry about stuff, and God's already got it under control. Amen. He already knew what he would do. That's a whole other message right there. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Brother Ray, would you ask a blessing on God's word tonight? Be seated tonight. Before I tell you the title of the message, I want us to note that this is the only miracle that Jesus ever did that was recorded in all four of the Gospels. Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and here in John chapter 6, I learned that when the Lord tells us something one time, that's good enough. But when he tells us something more than once, you better really listen. Amen. And four times he covers this miracle, and there is truth in each one of those gospels in this. And so I believe it's something we really need to take heed to. And before I tell you the title of the message, I want to tell you how this message came about. Earlier in the year, I had the privilege of preaching in a camp meeting in Wheelersburg, Ohio, the Christian Baptist camp meeting. And I said, this is the first year I ever got to take part in that. And I said, man, these people do it up right. They have three services a day. They meet at 9 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 7 o'clock. And not only do they have three services a day, they have three meals a day. Woo, right there, amen. And two of them they provide. The third one you got to buy. But listen, they'll feed you. And so I had the privilege of preaching in all the morning services that week. And after one of the evening services, they have a campground where they have their chapel and their building where they feed folks, and they have cabins you can stay in. They have hookups for RVs. And after one of the evening meals, I walked out into the yard, and it was dark out, and a teenage boy come walking up to me, had something in his hand, didn't know what it was, but he said, here, I want to give you something. Now, I'll be honest, I was a little apprehensive. A teenage boy in the dark wanting to put something in my hand had no idea what to expect. But I was living by faith that night, and I reached out my hand, and he put something in my hand, and I looked. And that boy, that teenage boy, young teenage boy, put money in my hand. And I said to him, I said, no, here, I said, here, I don't need your money, don't want your money, here. I said, take this back. And here's what he said, Preacher Tim. He said, it's not much, but it's all I've got, and I want you to have it. He said, it's not much, but it's all I've got, and I want you to have it. About that time, my mind began to stir, and my soul began to stir, and I thought, "Who? There's a message in there somewhere, amen." And immediately, the Lord brought me here to John chapter 6. And for sake of the length of the title, I'm just going to cut it down to this right here, it's not much. It's not much. He said, preacher, it's not much, but it's all I've got, and I want you to have it, amen. So if the Lord would help me for just a few moments of time, I want to preach on that thought tonight. It's not much. Just four things very quickly I want to draw out from John chapter 6. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The first thing I want you to see is the desperate situation. The desperate situation. You might well note here in John chapter 6, there is a desperate situation. Notice what the Bible tells us here in John chapter 6 as we consider this desperate situation. Jesus has went up into the mountain, and the Bible said in verse 3 that his disciples were with him. And so Jesus and the disciples go up into this mountain. Verse 5 tells us that a great company came unto him there. And if you're wondering what the great company was, verse 5:10 tells us that there were 5,000 men. Can you imagine? Jesus has gone up into a mountain. His disciples are with him. This great company has followed him into this place. And the Bible tells us in verse 10 that there are 5,000 men. But not only that, because when you look in Matthew's gospel, 14 and 21, the Bible said that there may have been thousands of women and children as well. Listen, and so there's 5,000 men. There's an untold number of women and children, possibly thousands of each. And so there could have very easily been 20,000 or more people that followed him up into this mountain here in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking about a desperate situation. Someone said, preacher, how desperate was it? I'm glad you asked. Because in Mark's gospel, Mark 6 and 34, the Bible said this great multitude of 5,000 men, possibly thousands of women and children, were like sheep having no shepherd. Can you imagine how crazy and how chaotic it must have been when these thousands of people who were scattered and wandering and confused and uncertain of following Jesus into this unknown place, thousands of men, thousands of women, thousands of children were like sheep scattered abroad having no shepherd. How crazy and chaotic it must have been. And as they followed him up into this place, I'm talking about a desperate situation. It got even worse because not only were they like sheep having no shepherd, but in Mark 6 and 36, the Bible said they had nothing to eat. And so they're following Jesus out in the middle of nowhere with nothing to eat. Can you imagine how hungry and how faint and how weary? Listen, they must have been. Anybody here ever been hangry? You can tell by looking at me, I like to eat. I can't imagine the crying and the complaining and the carrying on, and that's just talking about the men. I can't imagine the children must have been upset and crying, babies crying, women upset, men, listen, getting upset. I'm talking about out in the middle of nowhere, like sheep having no shepherd, and the Bible said they had nothing to eat. This is a desperate situation. It gets worse because the Bible tells us specifically that in John's gospel, it was a mountain. But then when you look in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell us it is a desert place. Now listen, there is no contradiction in the Word of God. And so we need to understand what a desert place is. When we think about a desert, we think about the Sahara. But here, this word desert in the Greek is the word eremos. And it just simply means this. It is a lonesome place, a desolate place. It is a solitary place. It is a wilderness. I'm talking about a desperate situation. Out slap dab. Anybody not know what slap dab means? Out slap dab in the middle of nowhere. A desert place, a desolate place, a solitary place, a wilderness with thousands of people scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd, having nothing to eat, far from home, hungry, weary, tired. Listen, I'm talking about it ain't good, but it's about to get worse. A desperate situation. Someone said, how could it get worse? Well, Luke 9 and 12 said that the day began to wear away. And then Mark 6 and 35 said the time was far past. Listen, Matthew's gospel puts it a little plainer. Matthew 14 and 15 said that it was evening. And so if you have any doubt what was going on, the sun was beginning to set. These people who are tired and worn now begin to see it's getting dark. I'm talking about the sun is setting. Darkness is coming on. The cold air begins to creep in. These people are a long way from home. They're tired. They're hungry. They're scattered abroad. Brother, it ain't looking good. It is a desperate situation. Now, I imagine I'm preaching to somebody here tonight that you've come into Liberty Free Will Baptist Church sitting on a pad of pew, and if I was to go around and ask you about it, there's some folk here that got your own desperate situation. Listen, how do you know, preacher? Because I've had a few of my own, amen. I'm talking about a desperate situation. There may be something you're praying about, something you need God to do. There might be something that's too big for you, and you know you need some help from the Lord. I'm talking about there's somebody possibly here tonight like these folks that have a desperate situation. Well, that brings me to point number two. How many know that when you find yourself in a desperate situation, you know what we like to do, Preacher Tim? We like to take inventory. We like to do some self-reflection. We like to consider the desperate situation that we're in, and just what can we do about it? Well, the disciples are no different than us, because number two, not only do I see a desperate situation, but whoop, I see the definite shortcomings. I see the definite shortcomings. Well, the disciples decide to have a business meeting.
the disciples got together and had a little business meeting. Amen. And they put their heads together. They had a little think tank going on. And in all of their wisdom and in all of their knowledge, here's what they came up with. Listen, when you look at all the Gospels together, they approach Jesus with their big idea. It's a desperate situation. It ain't looking good, but whoop, we got a solution. All right, the Lord says, what is your solution? The disciples realize there's a need. They realize they need a solution, and here's what they said. Tell them to get lost. Tell them to go home. Tell them to go away. If you look in the Gospels, here's what they said. They said, send them away. Send them away into the towns. Send them away into the villages. Send them away into the country round about. To lodge and to buy themselves victuals, to buy themselves bread. In the middle of a desperate situation, when it ain't looking good, their solution, their problem solving has brought them to this point. Tell them to go fend for themselves. Tell them to go do the best they can. Go tell them to get lost and go away. We can't help them. Let them go help themselves. Let them go away from here and get them a hotel room for the night. Tell them to go buy them some bread for themselves. We can't help them. Tell them to go away. Aren't you glad tonight, church, in the middle of your desperate situation, you've got a Savior that just don't send you away to tell you to get lost, to tell you go do the best you can. I'm glad that he's willing and he's able to help you in your time of need. Amen. I'm glad he don't do that, aren't you? That's their solution. Go ahead and go on home. Amen. Well, the Lord wasn't satisfied with that. No, in fact, he said they need not depart. And in three of the Gospels, here's what he said. He said, you give them to eat. Give ye them to eat is what he said. You help them out, boys. Well, they done had a business meeting. Now the next logical thing, pass a plate. Let's take up an offering. Let's take up an offering and see what we can come up with. Someone said, did they really pass a plate? I'm just using my imagination, okay? They passed a plate. They took up an offering, and they got a walloping 200 penny worth. Sounds like a lot, don't it? But it ain't. They took up 200 penny worth. They got 200 penny worth. And when they took up the offering and counted it up and seen what they had, Philip began to count. Philip began to consider. And he says this. He said 200 penny worth of bread. You know, that's not too bad. But then I believe he began to look out over the crowd. Go ahead. Come on. But then he said, you know what? On second thought, 200 penny worth ain't sufficient. 200 penny worth is not sufficient that every one of them may take a little. Now listen, 200 penny worth may sound like a lot to you, but in 2010, there was a study done, and I'm sure the numbers may be a little different now, 15 years later, but in 2010, they come up with this solution that 200 penny worth was, in today's standards, would be about $282. Anybody been to Walmart lately? 200 penny worth is not sufficient that every one of them may have a little. Hey, listen, $282, it might feed your family for a week unless you've got a couple teenage boys. You might be able to stretch it out for 2 weeks if you buy a lot of soup beans and stuff like that. But listen, $282, it ain't much for a home to make it for a week, let alone feeding 5,000 men and thousands of women and thousands of children. And when they took up the offering and Philip began to count and began to look out on the crowd, he realized what a desperate situation they had, and he began to realize their definite shortcomings. When they looked in their pocket and counted up what they had, brother, he realized it was not sufficient. It was not enough. Brother, they didn't have enough to take care of the problem. Well, Andrew's got a solution next. Andrew's a problem solver. He said, I got it all took care of. I got it. Verse 9, he said, there's a little lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But I believe he did the same thing Philip did. He began to look out over the crowd. But what is that among so many? He began to look at this little boy's happy meal. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That sounds like a lot. I ain't talking about Wonder Bread. I ain't talking about big fish fillets. I'm talking about it was more like 5 breadsticks and 2 sardines. A little lad's lunch. It wasn't enough to feed a grown man, let alone 5,000 men, thousands of women, and thousands of children who are far from home, cold and hungry. Brother, I'm talking about they begin to realize their definite shortcomings. When he looked at the lad's lunch, he said, it's not enough. What is that among so many? A desperate situation. The definite shortcomings. Let me ask you a question tonight. Sir, ma'am, look up here. It's preaching time. I won't keep you long, but let me ask you a question. Tonight, when you find yourself in a desperate situation, have you ever begun to count up what you had? Have you ever took inventory? Have you ever done some reflection like these men? I begin to realize that our means and our resources and our abilities and our strength and our wisdom and our capabilities is not sufficient. When you begin to count up what you got, you realize, what is that? What is that among this desperate situation? Listen, you begin to realize, brother, your definite shortcomings. And I realize my definite shortcomings. And we realize, like Philip and like Andrew and the rest of this bunch, what we got is not enough. We need more than what we have. Amen. Well, that brings me to point number 3. And this is where business starts picking up. Because we realize our desperate situation. And we see our definite shortcomings. What is that among so many? It's not sufficient. But all number 3, aren't you glad for the divine Savior? Yeah. Amen. Oh, yes. We'll have some desperate situations, pray brother. We'll have some desperate situations. And we'll realize our definite shortcomings. But may I introduce to you tonight our divine Savior. Oh, may I introduce our divine Savior. Oh, listen, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Oh, listen, it's not enough. But can't you hear that little lad say to Jesus, as he stood there with his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it's not much, but it's all I've got. And I want you to have it. Woo! It's not much, but it's all I've got. And I want you to have it. Oh, listen, I'm talking about business is about to pick up, church. Hey, man, I know it's Sunday night. Some of y'all look sleepy, but I'm talking about it's about to get good. Because notice what happens in Matthew 14 and 18. I love what Jesus said. He said, bring them hither to me. Oh, Jesus said, you've done said it's not enough, but you go ahead and bring it to me. You bring it hither to me. You bring it hither to me. You take it out of your hands and you put it in my hands. You bring it hither to me. Oh, listen, in Luke 9 and 16 says this. The Bible said, then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, the Bible said he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. Can I give you a visual tonight? I'm going to give you a visual. Can I borrow one of these Kleenex boxes? I'm going to, come here, brother. Will you help me? You be Jesus. You stand right here. You look more like Jesus than I do the little lad. I'll tell you that much. Little lad wasn't 200 pounds, but we'll just imagine. I'll be the little lad. You be Jesus. And there he is. He's got his 5 loaves and his 2 little fishes. They done said it ain't enough. It's not enough. What is that? Almost like a joke. What is that among so many? But all Jesus said, bring them hither to me.
Bring them hither to me.
Yeah. And look here. Here's what happened. Hey, that little boy took what he had and he put them in the hands of Jesus. Hey, he took it out of his hands and put it in the hands of Jesus. In his hands, it was not enough. In the disciples' hands, it was not enough. In your hands, it's not enough. In my hands, it's not enough. But when you put it in his hands, it is more than enough. Oh, yes, thank you, brother. You know what he did? The Bible said he looked up and he blessed him. And they break him. And then you know what the disciples did? Whoop! Brother, the five loaves and the two fishes, which was not enough, they begin to give it away to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. And thank God, listen, the one who hung the sun and moon on nothing, the one who put the stars in their sockets and called them by name, the one who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. He took what was not enough and he made it more than enough. Thank God. It's not much, but it's all I've got. And I want you to have it. Brother, when you take it out of your hands and you put it in his hands, it'll be more than enough. Woo! Praise God. It's not much in your hands, but in his hands, preacher. It is more than enough. Jesus said, bring it to me. Give it to me. Hold the desperate situation. There may be a daddy, a mommy, a husband, a wife, a mamma, a papa, son, daughter. There may be somebody here tonight that's facing a desperate situation. You've counted up the cost and you've taken inventory and you realize what I have. It's not sufficient. What I have is not enough. How in the world is this going to happen? You're adding up two and two, but it ain't coming up four, and you can't figure it out, and you can't see the solution. But oh, thank God, there's a Savior who says, bring it hither to me. Bring it hither to me. Put it in my hands. Oh, thank God the little lad took what he had. It wasn't much. But he put it in his hands. Oh, the desperate situation, the definite shortcomings. And thank God for the divine Savior. But number four, and I'm done, I see the delightful supply. I see the delightful supply. Oh, I'm telling you, he's fixing to turn this boy's Happy Meal into a Shoney's. Some of you young people are saying, what's Shoney's? All I can tell you is endless bacon. I mean, you eat all the bacon you can, go back and there's more. He's about to turn his Happy Meal into a Shoney's. Oh, listen to what Jesus did in verse 11. He took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. Look, listen to this. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. I'm not talking about a crumb. I'm not talking about scraping the bottom of the pan. I'm not talking about just getting a bite. I'm talking about they ate until they couldn't eat no more. They ate till they had their full. They ate till they were satisfied. They ate as much as they would. Amen. And listen, the Bible says this. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments, oh listen, of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I mean, when they got done eating, when everybody got their belly filled, when every man, woman, boy, and girl were satisfied, brother, I'm talking about they took up what was left over and there was 12 baskets full. Brother Tim, do you realize, preacher, that they ended up with more than what they started with? That sounds like grace to me. That sounds just like his grace to me. That sounds like grace to me, that I always end up with more than what I started with. Brother, when it's all said and done, I've got more than what I had to begin with. That's just like his grace tonight. Somebody said, why 12 baskets? I said, the disciples need to eat too. Hey, there was 12 baskets full, and there were 12 disciples. Guess what? They had to eat too. You know what that tells me tonight? That tells me that his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, his grace is sufficient for everybody. Brother, listen, I don't know your need tonight. I don't know your need, but Preacher Tim, he's got grace sufficient for you. Don't know your need, sis, but guess what? There's grace sufficient for you. Listen, he's got grace sufficient for you. For you too, brother. There's grace sufficient for you too. Brother Ray, there's grace sufficient for you. Hey, his grace is sufficient for everybody in this building. From the front of the pew to the back pew, from side to side. You may be here lost and undone. You may be here so far from God, the FBI can't find you. You might be here saved and struggling, carrying a burden, fighting a battle, sailing through a storm. You may be here just having a need that only he can provide. I'm telling you, that grace that was sufficient here is the same grace that's sufficient tonight and can provide what you stand in need of. Amen. Notice this, 12 baskets full. Someone said, preacher, them disciples surely they couldn't eat a whole basket full of bread. Well, that just tells me that his grace is sufficient for today. And that grace will be sufficient for tomorrow. And that grace will be sufficient for next week. And that grace will be sufficient for next month. And that grace will be sufficient for next year. Oh, yes, I've got more than what I need. But thank God that grace just keeps piling up. And thank God that grace is sufficient. Thank God for a divine Savior who can give a delightful supply. Well, I'm feeling better some of y'all's acting, amen. Listen, I'm talking about 12 baskets full. But here's the question tonight. Come here, brother. Here's the question tonight. I don't know your need. I don't know what it is you're praying about. Don't know what it is you need God to do in your heart, in your home, in your family, in your situation. But I wonder tonight how many of you would just say, Lord, what I've got ain't much. But truly, it's all I've got. Lord, tonight, I want to give it to you. Lord, tonight, I'm going to take it out of my hands, and I'm going to put it in your hands. Because in my hands, it's not enough, but in yours, Lord, it's more than enough. Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, I'm weak, but you're strong. Lord, I'm not able, but you're more than able. Lord, it's not sufficient in my hands, but it is a sufficient grace in your hands. And God, I'm just going to trust you with what I need. And tonight, I'm going to put it in your hands. Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, some of you are going to take your happy meal and walk out of here. Say, I'm just going to keep what I got. Can you imagine if that boy would have walked out with what he had? Listen, the Lord can do anything he wants, but that's the vehicle he chose to use. And can you imagine how different it all would have been if the boy would have said, no, this is mine. I'm going to keep it for myself, and I'm just going to go out, and I'm going to eat my little lunch so they can fend for themselves. It's been a whole different story. Here's what I'm going to tell you tonight. Look up here, mommy, daddy, mama, papa. When you put it in his hands, it ain't just going to bless you. Amen. Woo! It's going to bless everybody around you. Hey, mommy, daddy, it won't just bless you. It'll bless your children. Husband, wife, it won't just bless you. It'll bless your spouse. Mama, papa, it won't just bless you. It'll bless them grandbabies. Hey, saint of God, it won't just bless you. It'll bless your brothers and your sisters in the church. Hey, it won't just bless you. It'll bless your lost loved ones that are lost and undone and need to know there is a Savior who is still sovereign and in control and who's able to do all that. That needs done. Amen. He took it out of his hands and he put it in the Lord's hands. And here's what I'm going to finish up with. Here's how I know that it didn't just bless one that blessed them all. Because when it was all said and done, the men that saw the miracle, that saw the miracle that took place when that boy took it out of his hands and put it in the hands of Jesus, they said, of a truth, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Someone said, what do you mean, that prophet? Well, in Deuteronomy, Moses penned that verse, that prophecy of that prophet who would come. And in the book of Acts, Peter was preaching in Acts 3 and told of the fulfilling of that prophecy when he spoke of Jesus. And he quoted from Deuteronomy, and he said this. He said that a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You know who that prophet was? Whoop! It was Jesus. It was that prophet. And brother, when these people saw the power of God, and they saw the supply, and they saw his sufficiency, when they saw what he was able to do, they said, indeed, this is that prophet that Moses told us that would come. And oh yes, Peter said, of a surety, it is that prophet. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. And tonight, can I tell you, when you put it in his hands and quit trying to work it out yourself and quit trying to make it happen, brother, and you take your little and you put it in his hands that's able to do a whole lot, brother, I guarantee you folks will say, that is that prophet. That is that Savior. That is that provider. That is that healer. That is that helper. That is that friend. That is that Lord. And thank God, I'm glad Hebrews 4 and 16 still says, come boldly to the throne of grace where you could obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In our time of need. I don't know what your need is tonight, but I know when you come to him and put it in his hands, you'll find grace and you'll find mercy to help you and take care of you and bless you and provide for you. I would to God tonight somebody would just bring your five loaves and two little fishes and put it in his hands and say, Lord, I've got a desperate situation. My loved one has a desperate situation. My family has a desperate situation. Our ministry has a desperate situation. Lord, it's too big for us. But tonight we're going to put it in your hands and watch you do what only you can do. And I guarantee you, brother, with him, you'll find there is more than enough. Amen. Everybody all right? Say amen. Can the singers come, preacher, tonight? Come on, singers, whoever's going to sing, in his hands, in his hands. I'd love to have been there to see it. You know, there's a lot of things that we wish that we could see. And this is one time, really, I wish from a distance I could have watched this happen. When the Lord said, bring it hither to me. Bring it hither to me. You talk about a game changer. You talk about turning a situation around. You talk about business picking up. Bring it hither to me. Come on, put it in my hands. And when he did, we read 2,000 years later, we're still bragging. We're still talking about what Jesus did there in that wilderness, there on that mountain, there in that desert place. That brother, every man, woman, boy, and girl had their need met. Tonight I'm going to ask you to bow your head.